Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in count is called Yellow Overtone Warrior, and it is the fifth day of the Yellow Human Wave Spell, and it is the 27th day of the Electric Moon, with only one day left. That would be Thursday, October 17th, is the completion day of the Electric Moon, the third moon of our 13 moon year. So it's like a month, it's like the third month of the year, but the month is only 28 days long, and that's always true, which is why we celebrate it. This is why we cling to natural time through all of its esoteric leanings, is because if we follow this calendar of a 13 moon year, we get to experience what it's like to have rhythmic months. The word month comes from moon, so to call a period of time a moon is to reference the moon, and both do reference the moon, but the natural time or the indigenous calendar that we celebrate with 28 day months, segments of the year, is truer to the moon cycle because the moon does have a rhythmic cycle. It is 29 and a half days long, so that's not an exact mirror of our 28-day moon in the 13 moon year, but it's actually the average of two ways of looking at the moon cycle, and I explain that in my book, but I didn't retain the information enough to spit it out here. I researched it and wrote about it, so you can read Natural Time, and you can also just explore online what the lengths of a moon cycle are, meaning from new moon to new moon or full moon to full moon. One is the vantage point from like the moon, and one is the vantage point from the earth. Or maybe the vantage point is from somewhere else in the cosmos, but one is our perspective and one is from outer space. That's cool. That's trippy. And the 28-day moon is also a reflection of like a universal menstrual cycle. Like, it's not, as a woman and speaking to women, perhaps there's not always an exactitude in one cycle. But the 28-day moon is probably rooted most, I think that was the sort of edict of an indigenous culture, is that time was tracked on the female body so indisputably. And then there was this very similar reflection in the moon phases. So that must have got everyone really tripped out, you know, from the very beginning, back when we didn't have to sanitize menstruation. We would just be like amazed, like, this is happening in a human body and in the sky. Like, that's our connection point. That is the portal from here to the other world, to heaven, through the female body. Oh, how funny. So we're doing that here. We're sort of celebrating that, emulating that. So anyway, we're finishing up the third moon of the year. The year started July 26th. And the electric moon is asking, how can we best be of service? So we need to know how we can by now. We should have some, I think, potential to answer that question pretty readily. Just reflect back on this 28-day expanse and see what was shown for you to do, how you were directed. You know, it feels a little more vague to me than the challenges that were so like stark in the lunar moon, or even the purpose that came really powerfully into our midst in the first magnetic moon. But as I said last podcast, the electric moon is the first stage of determining our service for the year. It's inviting the question and reminding us that that is how we should motivate ourselves, how we most purely are motivated, that our ego is kind of like an infiltrator or a parasite when it takes over and obscures that naturally, innately, we want to be helpful. We want to help and serve others or concepts. You know, we want to put ourselves in abeyance to something greater. And the electric moon is teaching us that the source for that energy of being of service comes from a higher power. And when we are infused with all that dynamic strength of divinity, then it pours out of us effortlessly. And in fact, we're sort of overspilling with grace. And that's how we want to be responsible to give others where they lack, you know, whichever others. That's why we're in this process of determining how can I best be of service, because we're spilling over with the, you know, destiny or the fortitude to be of service, but we have to find out where we're needed. And it's an individual for each of us, right? It's like my spilling over of grace has a certain flavor or temperament, or you know, it has a kind of description that's going to serve a particular purpose or person out there, and yours might be different. That's why we're in the inquiry, like, how can I best be of service? But then what happens in the next moon that starts on Friday, October 18, is that we get more specific information. So when I said I don't totally know how to nail down how to best be of service, but I've been given nuances or indications, but it's not as clear cut as, well, that's my challenge or that's my purpose. Then in the self-existing moon, the fourth moon of the year, that's always the inquiry, what form will my service take? And form is foundational. Form is specifics. It's bullet points. It's itemization. It's a plan. And when we are done with that moon in 29 days from now, then, I mean, I think it's just going to be much more factual and almost contractual. Like, this is my divine contract for the year. I'm already, you know, immersed myself in situations and dedication that illustrates that I've been very clearly directed into a form or foundation to build from in service. And, you know, I just don't want everyone to think it's like the moralistic kind of service that comes out of religious values, you know. That doesn't mean that you have to, like, choose between helping the homeless or, you know, political action. I'm not even coming up with good examples, but, like, it doesn't have to be this most rarefied, saintly behavior. You know, being of service could mean that you are deeply wedded to an art project, because maybe service is as simple at times as simply not doing harm to others, or not, you know, creating more material objects to fill the planet. I'm not saying that if you have an idea of making a material project, that that's not your form of service. I just don't want service to have to be specified by other teachings that are very well established and kind of show us, like, this is good behavior and this is not good behavior. When you get to the end of the electric and self-existing moons, you'll have a unique vision that's been clearly, you know, implanted in your brain so that you can see your way forward that is the translation of divine force into human force that comes through your pores, through your hands, through your heart. That was like a soundbite. Take a note, make a meme, whatever. So, yeah, I don't know. I feel a little punchy, a little punch drunk, because it is, I think, work to live in the vagueness of, like, I have to be of service. I have to fuel myself. I have to be filled up with divine purpose right now. Or maybe it's purpose is a distracting word, because we got our divine purpose and our human purpose in the first moon of the year. But in the electric moon, we just, like I said, we get kind of flooded with divinity, because we had to do some work that made us empty or feel a gap in our lives. The lunar moon was about polarization, which is stretching things to the opposite ends, opposite realms, dark from light. And that leaves all this space in between that's undefined, which we would call the gray area. You know, most of us have to learn how to live in the gray area and not aiming for extremes, or not sort of in the fallback position of, like, I'm on all the time, or I'm off, I'm in the state of, like, depression, you know, mania. The human dimension is full of invitations towards mania, and we are trying to explore soothing our animal selves down to something that's more sustainable. But in the beginning of a cycle of 13, we are asked, or I would say it's enforced, that we have this time in the lunar moon or the lunar day of challenge where things are polarized and drawn to their extreme sections. And then we have to wait and see what goes into that space that kind of wends them back together or bridges the distance. And that's what happens in the electric tone, the third tone. And so we are in this kind of natural state, like a force of nature right now, finishing up this moon, where our work was to just let the waters, you know, fill the basin. A lot of space was created and maybe made us feel vacant or vacuous or scared and empty, unmotivated, disconnected. Those are things I could say about the lunar tone when it's extended over 28 days. And then now we've had a balancing time where we're filled not with our own thoughts and ideas and intention. In fact, I think that the electric tone, when it comes in the 28-day moon, is such a deep understanding of what supreme intention is, what supreme intent becomes when it works within us. It's not, hey, I have a great idea of what I'm going to do, and now I have all this backing of God behind me. In fact, it feels much more like I have all this emptiness in me and God is filling me up, and it's nothing I can control. It's not even something I completely understand. I can trust that I'm getting filled up with divinity in the electric time. Like that is the third pole, that the trinity of the electric being number 3 of 13 indicates. But it's not, like, we can't use our human understanding to label it or categorize it. And I've suffered from that this whole moon. Like, I have no idea what's going on. I feel really close to God, but I also can feel in a human way, like, what's up? I don't get it. And I think it's just that we get something that's a gift and then we don't come to understand it right away. It fills the space and then we're going to spend time acclimating to it. And then our human understanding, meaning our incarnated understanding, not that humans are better at understanding things than other animals. I just mean, like, the divine force comes into our incarnated physical body, and then we grapple with what it means and where it's taking us. And that's the time we've been in. I wanted to reflect a bit on the change again between the blue storm wave spell and the yellow human wave spell. We're in the fifth day of our yellow human time, and I can still remember Blue Storm, the wave spell. It's like a movie. Blue Storm, the wave spell. It
was dynamic for me, you know, I say this, I'm a blue storm, so I always try to give context. Like maybe it was just very deeply charged for me to have self-understanding because it was my 13 days of a summiting exposure to my own birth astrology, my tribe that I belong within. However, as I often say, we have blue storm years as well as white wizard years and red moon years and yellow seed years. Each of those four tribes has a whole year that we're all exposed to deeply. And so, you know, they get a sort of special standing in that we probably all need to have an understanding that's personal and also universal through the teachings of natural time of what these tribes indicate, what they carry as a message, what they carry as a karma. So I can talk a little freely about blue storm, both from the sort of self-centered or self-generating space of having been born on a blue storm day, but also to just augur a bit, for example, that we will be coming next year into a blue storm year. Blue storm to me was really catastrophic, and it wasn't that I felt heaved around, that there were surges of destructive or even just simply powerful dynamic forces all around me, pitching me through life. Like that would be kind of caught in a storm. We see enough of that on the news, our superstorm era. So I wasn't really, you know, in that space. But I felt so clearly the alarming truth of the human situation of self-extinction, the suicidal impulse of our egotistical greed and drive to conquer and collect objects, and how we have overindulge in that. And so the planet is probably fine, but our species is creating its own personal catastrophe. Like that was so present for me. And, you know, that's messaged in a few luminaries. I point to Greta Thunberg, Thunberg. I don't know how people say it in a sort of westernized American accent, but the teenage student who came from Sweden to the U.S. to speak to the U.N., like she has her preeminence, and her message to me is very much what came through in the blue storm wave spell. I don't know if they coincided, but just that's a distillation of what I experienced in that time. Just like the alarm of there being no way out. I mean, of course, we have decades, and we could, we can have survivors, you know, and we rebuild the human species from a small number of people that can withstand famine and weather deviation, etc. But just in terms of like, we can't stop the momentum of greed and arrogance fast enough for it to be a comfortable transition. Kind of reminds me of like when Obama somehow found a magical way out of our Great Recession. I'm not saying he acted alone, but it was sort of like we're all going into the Great Depression, and then it was saved, and we didn't have to have that extreme discomfort and disorientation. So, you know, that's where I live in doubt in a blue storm wave spell, that we could be spared of a great extreme capacity for suffering. That was just blue storm, because here I am in yellow human, and I just am not thinking that way. And so I love moving from one of the most powerful tribes in terms of raw power. The sun is another superpower of nature, you know, sort of like the superpower. That's why you could consider it the greatest source of divinity or God itself. And then the storm is more like localized within our atmosphere, but probably the most powerful force. Of course, earthquakes too, which is represented by red earth. You know, red moon is water, so we could think of that as flooding, or the ocean itself, which is a huge body entity. But blue storm is just like, it is designed to tear things up. It's churning. It is the release of pressure, and it does it in a way that is forceful, obviously, and we have to pay attention to it. So it is one of the things that makes humans deeply humble and in abeyance too. You know, it's a unifier in humanity because it is a non-judgmental force. It just takes everything in its path. And it's probably not aiming for anyone. It's just exerting itself, like when we stretch after we wake up from sleeping. You know, that's what the sky is doing. It's just shaking itself loose and limber and free. So in that, I don't know why, you know, I don't know how that then translates to, here's some really hard truths, you know, about, yeah, maybe that's why. Like, our brains lock down in a kind of denial, and then blue storm comes and it shakes up all the ways that we are kind of trying to keep things tightened down. And in that pressure release, you get a glimpse of like the calamity. But yellow human is so comforting and relaxing after that, because I'm not thinking in those terms at all. I mean, I can reference, and I am here, that I just had a spell of time where I was pretty sure that we're screwed. But the yellow human identification is either more superficial or more fixated on smaller segments of life. You know, what we can directly influence, that's a key word for yellow human. What can I influence right here in front of me? So we're going back to kind of the small stuff, you know, brass tacks. We're not being visionary, is my impression. The picture on the glyph, the hieroglyph that we use in the dream spell, i.e. this natural time version of the original Mayan hieroglyphs, is a really vacant looking dude. Big wide eyes, almost like trance, in a trance, programmed, cult-like, not scrutinizing, as you would see in the Blue Eagle glyph. And I have sort of suspected over the years that really what a human is someone who has a very big ear canal, which you also see in the glyph, this conical place where you can be guided, infused with messaging. And then you just kind of are automated in your humanity to move forward based on what you're hearing. And that the hearing varies from hearing something really grace-filled to hearing something really ego-bent, driven. Again, the base, lower, instinctual, personal survival kind of, I would say, a radical rudeness. You could be automated by that. Or you can be automated by, you know, the largest divine purpose. And now we're back to polarity or extremes. One is like you are cult-like for God, or you are cult-like for the lowest forms of survival. But we're all somewhere in the middle, and we change where we are, and we swing, and we fill in the difference. And sometimes we're pig-headed, and we are serpentine, meaning we just want to do whatever we can to get by. I mean, that's mean to snakes, but do you know what I mean? Like, our base instincts just want us to, you know, hit the survival notes. And then our yellow human luminescent self, that's as if we're little drops of sunlight in physical form, that wants us to be, you know, just really wide-eyed, as if we were automated by the sun itself, by God. But there's less time to worry. That's all. I can't make a perfect like extrapolation of like, wow, we went from blue storm to yellow human. I can just identify that it's nice to have both. We don't get yellow human years. We get blue storm years. And so my cautionary tale is, I believe in the blue storm year, blue lunar storm that will start next July 26th. We will, you know, have a lot going on for ourselves as a species. And in the meantime, in the meantime of these 13 days with only 8 to go, and your version might be different than mine, but that there just is kind of a comfort in having the blinders on and being kind of told internally what to do and to do it, and to not be trying to break free. I mean, that's very interesting, right? Because we're humans, and many of us have times, or there are really humans that accomplish this, where you just are, you break through the glass ceiling in all different ways. We do that in spells in our lives, and then some people's whole lifetimes have that as it's their bent. But, you know, that's because based on this astrology, you know, some people are storms their whole lives, some people are sun their whole lives, some people are skywalkers. I mean, whatever the variation on being explosive, dynamic, bigger than a human body, like you just have, you have a different orientation. But then, like, there's some pretty incredible humans. I think the most infamous would be Martin Luther King Jr., who was a yellow overtone human. So here we are on an overtone day in the yellow human wave spell. So how nice to honor him, his memory. I mean, he was really trying to empower humans. So maybe in the yellow human wave spell, we just have a limited concern for staying in our human form and seeing what we're expected to do karmically. And then perhaps we can think laterally about humanity, and we're not as worried at the moment about, like, I've been really fixated on the grizzly bears and how skinny they are because they don't have salmon. So in this yellow human wave spell, I don't know what's going on with the animals. Like, it's not right in front of me. Oh, yellow human. But it's lovely to be a yellow human. You know, I think, like a grouch sometimes. But it's just lovely when a yellow human wave spell can be like, oh, wait, I'm a yellow human right now. I'm not like a kind of uncolored human who's just, you know, doesn't have that infusion of light. I'm a yellow human. I'm illuminated in my human form for this time. Quickly, I'm podcasting pretty late in the day for people in different time zones. So I don't know, your yellow overtone warrior day, you can reflect on how that has been or was. Did you fight the right fight? Are you feisty, ornery, or are you sort of more like martially disciplined to be task-oriented and do things that feel protective to smaller species who are more vulnerable? Or maybe none of that, but something like that. And then red rhythmic earth, seismic day somehow. I mean, think of red earth that way. I mean, red earth is very interesting because there's movement. Evolution is one of the words. We evolve. And like I said, it can be a sudden evolution where the tectonic plates slip in their tension point. We have that in our lives. It can be us imitating the way the earth emanates volcanic ash, but also smoke. You know, the way the earth's on fire through some of its portals into its molten depths. That's where we use red earth to kind of ceremoniously imitate the actions of the planet. So it can be a ceremonial day, and it can be a day of travel where we are imitating a planet on its orbital. And that will finish the electric moon, because I'm talking about Thursday, the 17th of October, and then the 18th, when we wake up, we'll have slept our way right into the self-existing moon. So Thursday night is called taking magic flight between moons. It's kind of provocative. Maybe your dream life will show you that there's been like an alteration and evolution. And then we will be pushed into the resonant mirror, white resonant mirror. And that's the first stage of white mirror coming into supremacy, because after another 20 days, white resonant mirror will turn into white magnetic mirror. And then we'll be in the white mirror wave spell. So the resonant day is always presaging the wave spell that will start the next time we hit that particular tribe. And it's sort of a 40-day odyssey between the resonant day, then the magnetic day that follows, then the galactic day after that. And those 40 days, it's actually 41 days, but that segment of time is the, sort of the ascendance and then descendance of a particular tribe. And to that end, Saturday, am I right or am I wrong? Yes, Saturday, which will be Blue Galactic Storm, is that finishing stage of the Blue Storm ascendance and the Galactic tone indicates that we're kind of doing some integrating of the blue storm history last wave spell into this yellow human one. So get ready for that blue storm marker to come back one more time. And that when things are integrated and whole, merged together kind of peaceably, equally, like an equal mix, that lends to integrity. And that speaks to the electric moon again. You know, the electric moon is when we are integrated with divinity and we then want to act with integrity and be of service in the world. Check out my book. It is at my website, resonanttruth.com. It's called Natural Time. I'm Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan, we say, in Lakesh.